first line of
they
defense.
Got Big they have Big Baby, not to be confused with Matty Travis, but that's, Big Baby Davis.
That's pretty pathetic.
I'd take Matty Travis over Big Baby Davis. That's just me, though.
There is no doubt. He's a great athlete. He's very intense, and he never tanks like some of these guys are accused of doing. Let's go to the Revolution Hotline and talk to Adam Teicher of the Kansas City Star. And we've been debating for 15 minutes how to pronounce your last name. Adam, did I even get close on that?
You got it right on the first try.
Look
man.
At that.
That's pretty good.
As a guy who gets his name mispronounced a lot, I get called Jason a lot. My first name is Justin, and my last name is Acree, which is a rarity around here, and so I get butchered all the time.
How do you get that butchered?
I don't know. You'd think it'd be very simple.
Acree?
I've been called so many different things. A lot of things I can't say on the air.
You probably shouldn't.
Nope, and I won't.
Adam, how you doing today?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Good. We were certainly we were excited that Nile Davis went as high as we thought he could potentially go. I don't think anybody, even Nile Davis, would have expected to go as early as he did. So with the OTAs and him spending some time around the Kansas City organization, what are the early returns on Nile Davis?
Well, I tell you what, he's holding the ball like you're supposed to hold it. I mean, he's making sure, you know, he's holding that ball high and tight every time he gets the ball. And even sometimes it's almost an exaggerated thing where he's, you know, kind of holding it high in his chest. So he's trying to cure that fumble thing. You know, there was one time there was a bad exchange between he and the quarterback, and the ball ended up on the ground, and without getting a better look at it, I can't tell you whose fault it was, but there was a time when the ball did end up on the ground. And, you know, that's just something, you know, he can't do what he did last year for Arkansas. And if he does, he's not going to be able to make it in the NFL. So, you know, that's job one for him is to just hold on to the ball. And, you know, that's what he's got to do if he wants to play for the Chiefs.
How long does their minicamp go through?
Oh, they practice three times this week, four times next week, and then three the week after. So they got three more weeks to go.
Well, there have been a lot of significant changes, not just bringing in a guy like Nile Davis in Kansas City. And certainly this is it's a tradition-rich organization, but an organization that's struggled mightily in the recent years. Where does everybody sort of feel like or how much improvement do they think they can see, not overnight, but certainly in the coming season?
Well, I mean, it's kind of a wait-and-see thing. I mean, you know, everybody thought last year the Chiefs were, you know, this time last year the Chiefs were in pretty good shape. And, you know, of course, that just was a disaster last year. So, you know, I think a lot of people are in wait-and-see mode. You know, I think a lot of people are pretty excited about some of the changes the Chiefs made, you know, starting with the head coach, the general manager, you know, a lot of the players they brought in. You know, I think it's been hard to be a Chiefs fan the last few years, like you talked about. I mean, they've kind of been misled about where the team was headed and how good they might be. So I think there's a lot of wait and see right now. And, you know, if they want, you know, Chiefs fans getting back on the bandwagon, they probably needed to get off to a quick start this year.
Adam Teicher joining us from the Kansas City Star talking about Nile Davis. And, of course, he is the rookie pickup third-round sign. Running back for the Chiefs this year, and certainly expects to be the second back. I think a lot of us would expect that. Is that your expectation that he will end up being the number two back?
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, I think he'll play a lot. I mean, I don't think he'll just play when Jamal Charles needs a rest. I mean, I think, you know, he's kind of a nice compliment to Charles. You know, Charles isn't a big guy, and I think they'd like to give Davis a lot of the tough yards, if you will. You know, a lot of the goal line and short yarded stuff. I can see him handling that role again if he stays healthy and holds on to the ball. And I think, you know, they might use these two guys together from time to time. So, you know, I think Davis is going to play a lot. I don't think he's just going to be kind of a caddy. I mean, I think that's the Chiefs' plan anyway. You know, he has to stay healthy and he has to figure out how to hold on to the ball. But if he can do that, I think he'll get some significant playing time.
Adam, I think I can speak for the average Razorback fan when I say that the baseline for success this coming season would be any bowl game whatsoever, which means a .500 record. Sure. New coaching staff, a lot of changes, and, you know, get a new quarterback. So I think everybody would agree that that would be okay. What's a baseline of success, do you think, for the Chiefs this year? Do they have to make the playoffs? Is it a .500 record? What do you think?
No, just, you know, this is going to be – it's less a number and more where you can see that this thing is definitely headed in the right direction, you know, that these days of two wins or four wins or five wins or whatever, that those days are over for the foreseeable future, and this program's headed in the right direction. So, you know, that's hard to say as far in terms of a winning, you know, wins and losses. I think they need to win at least, and this is just a bare minimum. I think they need to win at least 6 games. You know, there's too much talent around here to go 2-14 again. You know, the schedule is fairly friendly, particularly early in the season. So I think the Chiefs need to win baseline six wins this year. 7 or 8 would even be better. You know, hey, if they can be in the playoff chase, that's even better. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they just need to get this, you know, this pattern they've been in with just one lousy season after another. They need to get that behind them and look to better days ahead. That's what I think makes a successful season this year.
I don't quote our morning show host very often, but if he were here, he would say, what happened? What happened? What the hell happened? I'm just trying to figure out how the Chiefs got to this point. The last time I was in Kansas City was several years ago, and they set an NFL record for rushing touchdowns in a game. You had two backs go with 4 touchdowns apiece. It was against
Atlanta.
Yes, exactly. Michael Vick had, like, nothing. Yeah. I was excited about seeing Michael Vick perform, and he was held down. So what happened to this organization to where we've gotten?
Well, it's a pretty long story, but, you know, basically they were for a lot of years, particularly when Dick Vermeil was coaching, I mean, they lived for now, and they were going for it. And they, you know, you can't, you know, you have to start looking to the future at some point, and they really never did back then. You know, they drafted to fill needs, and they were trying to do whatever they could to keep this thing afloat right now. And they didn't draft very well, and the thing kind of came crashing in on them. And, you know, they started the rebuilding process when Herm Edwards was here, and he wasn't allowed to see it through. And, you know, they changed administrations, and, you know, the new coach and the new general manager made a lot of mistakes. And, you know, that's what happens when you're a bad team. I mean, that makes for a bad team. And, you know, now they've got a new general manager, a new head coach, you know, at least in the case of Andy Reid, you know, he's been there and done it before. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, gives the Chiefs a little bit of comfort, but you know, there's no guarantees, you know, so we'll see how this draft turns out. We'll see how their free agent moves turn out, but it's if they they're not drafting much better than they have, or they, you know, the free agent decisions aren't better than they have been, you know, they're going to be stuck in this rut for sure.
Yeah, I'm curious about the Nile Davis pick too, talking about that, because there is a great he's maybe the biggest risk reward pick in the draft, or certainly in the first few rounds. I mean, if he can stay healthy, if he can hold on to the ball, I mean, you get all kinds of upside as a guy that led the SEC in rushing, which everybody understands is a significant achievement. Have you talked to anybody about that, about the thought process that went into that? Because, again, this is an organization that can't afford a whole lot of missteps at this point.
Yeah, well, they know they're taking a gamble. But, you know, anybody you take at the end of the third round where the Chiefs pick Nile Davis, you're going to get pick a gamble. I mean, there's somebody who's going to be flawed, whether it's, you know, character issues, injury issues, you know, guy with a flaw in his game, you know, there's going to be something like that. So, you know, but here's the thing about the Chiefs that thought about Nile Davis. They just couldn't get that 2010 season out of their heads. I mean, they just saw a guy who, you know, was, you know, hey, if he continued on that arc, I mean, he would have been a high first round draft choice. You know, they think they can cure him of the fumbling problem. They don't think the injury issues are chronic to where, he's going to have problems with that all the time. And, hey, sometimes they're right, sometimes they're not. I mean, I know at Arkansas they worked on trying to fix this fumbling problem. It didn't work. You know, the coaching history is littered with guys who thought they could fix a bad habit for a certain player and never got it done, you know. So we'll see what happens with Davis on this deal. But yeah, that's what the Chiefs were thinking. They were thinking, hey, this guy, for whatever reason, didn't get it done the rest of his career, but when he was on, he was a great player, and we think we can get him back to that.
Certainly it's an easy get from a fan standpoint if they want to come up and watch Nile Davis as far as driving up to Kansas City. My recollection is that Chiefs tickets were pretty hard to come by the last time I was up there. I fortunately had a friend that had season tickets that I went to college with. How hard is it to pull off getting a Kansas City ticket at this point for face value?
Yeah, it's not like it used to be, for sure. I mean, but yeah, hey, you know, that'll be cyclical. I mean, if they can start winning and get this thing going early in the season, it'll be more difficult as the season went on. But, you know, they really haven't had it hadn't been hard for most of the games the last couple, 3 years to get a ticket if, if you really wanted one, and particularly if you planned early. So that's still the case now, although, you know, once the season starts, they start winning some games. I have a feeling those tickets will go pretty fast.
Well, another organization that's had its moments but certainly has fallen on hard times in recent years, the Raiders. That's an organization the folks around here are also looking closely at, with Tyler Wilson being there and, of course, Darren McFadden returning as their – I assume he'll be their featured running back this coming season if he's healthy. Is that still the main rival for Kansas City?
Well, I mean, you know, the Chiefs-Raiders rivalry isn't what it used to be, for sure. I mean, there's still a lot of bad blood there, but it's called the main rival. I don't think it's there anymore. I mean, this has been a long time since both of the teams have been good at a season. You know, you know, it's not what it used to be, but you know, it's still been, you know, some pretty interesting games, and you know, it's kind of interesting what the Raiders have going out there now that Al Davis is gone, and they're doing things in a different way.
Right.
And I don't think the Raiders would be very good this year, but you know, I think it's you know, I think they'll be in the running for that number one pick next year, but. You know, hey, I think better times are probably ahead for the Raiders.
Yeah, well, you've got some parallels there, I mean, without a doubt. I mean, some organizations that certainly have won a lot in their time over the years but have not won a lot in recent years. Extremely passionate fan bases, certainly lost a lot less criminals in the Kansas City fan base, which is good news. But, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see which of those, you know, rise back to where they have been once in history faster. So it'll be fun to see which one comes back quicker, and certainly Arkansas will have their eye on both of them. Because of the ties to Arkansas with the former Razorbacks.
You know, with Tyler Wilson, it's in a great spot, man. I think with Matt Flynn as the starter there, I mean, that's one of the shakier starting quarterbacks, I think, in the league. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, if he shows well, it surprised me to see him starting by the end of this season. And you know, again, or you know, maybe it's next year before he works his way into some playing time. But I think that's a great spot for him. And, you know, I think, you know, of all the teams he could have gone to, that might have been tops on the list.
Yeah, well, it used to be fighting for division championships with those two organizations. Now it just may be trying not to suck as bad as the other one does. So
well, that's what it's been the last few years, for sure.
Well, it's like we always thank God for Mississippi. And so I guess the Chiefs can thank God for the Raiders. So, Adam, thanks so much for the time. We want to check in again as we get going a little closer into fall camp and get ready for the season if we can. But appreciate the time.
Anytime, guys.
All right, thanks so much. Adam Teicher of the Kansas City Star. Good stuff. And we'll be checking in with, you know, beat writers and folks in the organization at the different teams that Arkansans are landed on, whether it's Razorbacks or otherwise. So as we talked about yesterday, we got a former ASU guy who's in camp. And
in Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, got New England's got connections. And so there's, I guess.
Several out there. They're spreading the Arkansas connections are spreading out all over the place.
Felix Jones in Philadelphia now.
Yep.
So, yeah, it'll be fun to see how that goes. Talk a little Razorback baseball coming up. Also, big news in the world of golf, something many people did not expect to happen officially has come to pass now in the world of golf. Doesn't affect me. But it certainly will affect the game, and we'll talk about it. Coming up in the Zone on the Buzz Radio Network.